and gentlemen, my name is John. I am here from HC3. I have Dr. David Krause here, and we're going to be jumping into something that's really important, something that's hit the news regarding water safety for all property management organizations, all big industrial properties, anything that's out there. The General Services Administration has put out a new directive where water has to be tested, and that's what we're going to be talking about, because nobody really understands what's going on. So we're going to jump into that tonight. Dr. David Krause is here with me. He's going to tell us all about this and kind of lay the foundation of what everybody out there should be concerned about and what we should be looking toward and what we need to do now. David, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Thanks for having me tonight. Right now, we are receiving calls and messages and have learned that the General Services Administration has issued a unilateral service requirement for all their leased buildings. Now, we estimate the numbers of leased buildings across the country is around 8,000.
Wow.
So these are private property owners who are being required, who, you know, leased maybe the whole building, maybe just a space, you know, an office or two, a suite, maybe a floor, to some federal agency, maybe FDA or, a laboratory or, general, maybe even general services, but any federal agency other than the U.S. Postal Service, but all federal buildings as well, those that are run by GSA and the properties that are privately leased to GSA offices.
And David, what is the basis of this? Why are they saying, right, you know, water has to be tested across the board? What has happened to make them, you know, go, hang on, this is a serious issue. We need to jump on this.
Well, this is something that's a holdover from the pandemic. So during the COVID-19 pandemic, we recognized that buildings were going to be left, unattended, rather vacant, maybe unoccupied at all, and the water wasn't going to be used in those buildings. And when water sits stagnant, the disinfectant is lost, and Legionella and other waterborne pathogens can begin to grow and amplify. Now, it's taken the federal government a little bit of time to issue this. I believe that they kind of came up with their plan in November of 2023 and have issued it sometime in February, and it's just now making out to the property management companies and leaseholders to implement this water testing.
And they're kind of, and as far as I'm aware as well, these property owners and the management companies, they're kind of panicking because it's just been kind of dropped on their lap. It's not been something that have said, this is coming up the line. This has just been dropped on, and now there's this, oh my God, we could have, we could have Legionella, we could have anything in here. And I do believe as well, David, obviously you might not be able to talk about it, but there has been many cases of people contracting illness in these buildings.
There, I do know of a few. I'm aware of and have been involved in at least one where there was an outbreak and legal action at a federally owned building and property. It's very unfortunate. They said that one of their troubles was they said we were never shut down during the pandemic. They may not have been, but all the buildings around them were. And, the water usage in the entire community was the commercial office area was reduced. So we find that a lot of the times those places really didn't have adequate disinfectant making it to them anymore. Of course, they had no visibility on it because there was no testing going on before then.
And now we've got the problem where we have water that's been sitting over that time and has now basically, there's pathogens that have now colonized in there. And do you envisage that, because there's a lot of people that have been so ignorant to it and a lot of the property owners are ignorant to it, are we expecting a potential increase in, say, Legionella as when we start testing this water?
Nationwide, we're seeing an increase in Legionnaires' disease that is reported. We've been seeing that since before the pandemic. During and after the pandemic, public health agencies who are responsible for doing this testing and not the testing, but the reporting of cases have been, I'll say, overwhelmed and in some cases just flat out broken. However, what we've so GSA is not just testing for Legionella. The order requires testing for Legionella, any species of Legionella, not just Legionella pneumophila, which causes most of the cases of disease, but also lead and copper, as well as total coliform or E. coli. Now,
Right.
those are just totally different types of tests, but you have to pull them from drinking water. And it's a very modest amount of samples that are going to be collected in these facilities. However, it is I'll say it's a bit of a puzzle on how to arrange and do the sampling. And so the people who haven't done this type of sampling or understand the issues with laboratories and the pre-requirements you have to have in order to collect a valid sample are kind of taken aback with the complexity of, the sites have to be flushed but stagnant for at least 8 hours, but no more than 18 hours. Samples for the bacteria, the Legionella, and total coliforms have to be to the laboratory within 24 hours. So what that causes is a situation in which you can only collect samples between on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday of a work week, because the laboratories are closed on Friday, on Saturday. And if you collect samples on a Friday, they won't be there. And then you can't collect them on a Monday because they've sat stagnant over the weekend for most office spaces. So we've only got 3 days a week that you can
That's a
collect
really
samples.
small window.
And on top of that, you might be able to start at 7 or 8 in the morning, but if you've got to ship these samples off, and most places will need to ship them, they're going to have to finish collecting all their samples by 3 in the afternoon in
That's
order to connect with FedEx or whatever shipping service, or even if it's just driving across town to drop it off at a local lab if that's available.
I guess, David, that the one of the biggest problems is that obviously you're an expert, you have a team of experts that kind of do this all the time, but and we have within HC3 people that are experts in this field as industrial hygienists. But there's people out there, or there's organizations out there, property management companies out there, that only they might just think, well, I just need to get a test kit, like, buy it from Walgreens, get a test kit. But it really is that there's really nobody that's really specialized in this field in any of these companies. So I guess that they must be flying blind.
Well, there's a couple of challenges that they're running into. One, it's stated straight forth in the order that the property management company is not allowed to collect the samples themselves. They have to hire an independent third
Right.
party qualified professional to develop the sampling plan, collect the samples, and submit them to a qualified
Which it states
credentialed
on the
laboratory.
actual GSA document, doesn't it? It
It
actually states that,
it
doesn't it?
does.
It does,
Yeah,
yeah.
the scope of work and the work orders
Yeah.
make that very clear. The other aspect is who constitutes or what constitutes a qualified professional. So they
Yes.
clearly state that certified industrial hygienists are meeting that requirement. Each of us who have that credential, and I myself and Robert McNeely with my company, we possess those credentials. That's a hard to get effort. Most certified industrial hygienists have master's degrees, often
Yeah.
doctorates, have 8 to 10 years of experience before they even can sit for the examination. The examination is a broad and deep examination of physical, chemical, biological, radiological hazards in the workplace. So this is what we go to school for, is learn how
And
to do
this is
types of testing.
highly targeted, very specialized. It's not as if you can be like an environmental health officer and be able to deal with this. It's on another level we're talking about here.
You need some special knowledge, skills, and abilities. They've also mentioned that and acquiesce to a recently developed credential under ASSE and ANSI. The training is offered by a plumbing organization. You know, it's a 3 day long, 24 hour, you know, 3 8 hour days course. It's really focused on how to run water management programs, not necessarily how to do efficient sampling. Mm-hmm. And then certainly on top of that, if you come across any problems and you have to make recommendations or lead a remediation effort, that's not that that's not the main focus of that 3 day course.
And I guess with that brings in another problem, because you then have water management, you know, officers or people who are running water management plans that come up against this and realize, oh, wait a minute, I can't touch this because I don't have the experience, the knowledge, I don't have the skills to do it. And so that's causing a lot of confusion out there as well, because there's a lot of property management companies are thinking, oh, we've got a water management plan. Let's just go to the water manager, the manager. Let's see what he says about it. And they're like, well, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, some of the testing that is done is not typically done in water management plans. Mm-hmm. You know, the experience of doing that, the unique and frankly, some safety aspects of collecting these samples are not are a little bit foreign to their experiences. Unfortunately, GSA, you know, other than just stating CIHs and people with this ASSE 1280 certification, it didn't provide people with a vendor's list, clear guidance on how to find a certified industrial hygienist. Most people probably don't even know that there's a free available roster on the web at the BGC websites. So, you know, there are tools out there to find industrial hygienists, but I will tell you, many CIHs do not practice in this area.
No. And as so I was going to say, they don't have the experience and they don't specialize in this field. So let's talk a little bit about what the property management companies that are now, you know, beholden to do this now. What they should be coming to someone like you, they should be coming to HC3, somebody like you to get help with this. But what can they expect when they come to you and they say, look, we need to deal with this, David, what do we move forward? What can we expect? Let's talk a little bit about that testing, the sampling, and what we do for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, each building is different. And you may only be testing a portion of the building, but you're supposed to test the least areas, you know, all the fixtures and faucets and drinking fountains in the area that is being leased. And that's just portion of the building, and it's just that area, plus any drinking water fountains or fixtures or showers that may be in common areas where federal employees or their guests or tenants may actually use. So it can expand to the rest of the building, or at least part of that building. You're also supposed to test the incoming water at a backflow preventer, which is often outside of the building, maybe at the roadside or something like that. So you need to understand where those are. What we're finding is that a lot of the times people don't know their buildings as well as they think they do. You know, where are the water heaters? Where's the water heater that serves this area? We've been pointed to areas where, hey, it's in that cabinet or in that closet. Nope. Or maybe it's not there at all, you know, or it doesn't work. We found that, you need to provide floor plans and an inventory of all the water fixtures in the facility.
And I guess GSA, sometimes they don't even have that, do they?
Oh, well, it's often not accurate. It's never accurate entirely.
Yeah, yeah.
And what we also find, you know, I had somebody hand me plans for the upcoming renovation. Well, that's great to know where the fixtures are going to be in 6 months, but I need to know where they're at now. So those are some challenges we're running into. But also just we have to speak with points of contact at the facility, you know, at least 5 days prior. and being able to coordinate that all the fixtures that we need to access to be taken out of service, be tagged, be labeled, make sure that employees don't, or custodial staff don't accidentally go in and run the fixtures in the middle of the night when they're doing their work. So a lot of coordination and preparation mm-hmm. needs to go into this. And there's a time clock on all of this. So it may be in most cases at least a week before we or someone like us can actually get to the site. They're going to have to order sample bottles and special media and prepare that for the laboratories. But the results are often, most of the results take at least 2 weeks to get analysis results from. So there you're into 3 to 4 weeks. And one of the things that they've learned is that I think they're supposed to have the reports and everything submitted from the day they receive the notice within 90 days. And so that
they're up against the clock. I mean, we're talking, and also we've also got to think as well, and anybody that's out there, is that from even the moment this starts to the test and to when you get it back, if you do have a problem, it's colonizing as we speak. It's actually, there could be something in there that's colonizing. Yes, you may be lucky and it may be clear, but you could have a problem that's in there. And so I want to talk a little bit, David, if I may, about them being more proactive now rather than being reactive, because obviously being reactive is, the horse is bolted and now we need to go and try and shut the door. So let's talk a little bit why they need to do this now, why it's so important, and not to sweep it under the rug or leave it is something that's not going to get done.
That is going to be a tough one. All right. So one, to get the testing done by a qualified company as soon as you can is going to be important, because there is going to be a shortage of qualified people and time to get this accomplished. Four facilities in areas that Legionella is a bigger issue, where lead and copper in the water, meaning the corrosivity of the water causes lead and copper in these fixtures to be a problem. Total coliform may be an issue. If you have issues, it's probably not just going to be your building. It's probably going to be many buildings in that area, and everybody's going to be seeking the efforts and the expertise of remediation companies. The biggest unanswered question is, what if you find any of these problems in a building that is only partially leased to a federal agency, and maybe the rest of the building is leased to, a bank or a finance company or a restaurant or something like that?
Simple as that. From a large building right down to just your local restaurant that you go to.
Yeah. So what do you do? Is there a need or requirement to report these findings to the other tenants, to other people who are in that building? If you do have to take remedial actions that affect the whole water system, typically that requires, impacting everybody's water in that building, not just that suite or that area. It's not feasible to segregate, cut off that area alone. And you necessarily wouldn't want to, because if you've got a problem in part of the building, it's probably affecting the rest of the building, or it's at least at higher risk.
And also I can see now, David, is if they kind of leave it, sweep it under the rug, we've also got the potential issue where there could be some legal fallout from this. If they don't report it, if something they're not remediating it, or they find that there is a problem, then they've also now got a legal problem, not just the fact that they've found something in the water. And this is a potential issue, serious issue.
It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I think most people will have enough sense to look at it and say, okay, let's take care of the whole issue. It's really not possible to parse the baby on this. And I have had this question come up based on what I've read from the GSA documents. If a threshold is breached on any of these tests, and they're pretty low thresholds. For Legionella, it's one colony-forming unit per milliliter of water or higher, which is we can find that on the incoming water in a lot of communities. For lead and copper, it's 15 parts per billion for lead and 1.3 part per million for copper. And then any detectable total coliform or E. coli in the water prompts remedial action. The cost of that remedial action is foisted upon the property owner or the leaseholder, and the cost of retesting to demonstrate the effectiveness of the remediation is on them as well. So GSA, they're covering the initial cost of the testing, what they call the baseline tests. But anything beyond that is, according to what GSA's put out there, is the responsibility.
Now, we're talking, David, about federal buildings. We're talking about large property management companies for big industrial complexes. But from what we're talking, what you're saying, I can also see that being the landlord that owns a small office block that's leasing it out to a massage therapy room, an office, a pest control company or something else, or even just a cafe.
Yeah. But
that landlord is still going to come under this. This is still their problem, and the leasee or the lease.
Anything over 1,000 square foot lease is encompassed in this. So these are some small properties. The FDA, TSA, all these federal agencies that are intertwined within our communities that do inspections at, water production, bottled water facilities, all these places, they have small little outposts and small inspection places all over the country, whether they're in high population areas or rural counties. U.S. Geological Survey, U.S. Forestry Service. These are going to be far-flung places to have these tests, and most of them probably have not ever had any type of assessment or water management plan in place. The other thing that I think is really interesting in this is GSA has just, I'll say inadvertently, initiated probably the largest cross-sectional study of Legionella in building water systems that is not associated with outbreaks or disease.
Ever.
There's going to be tens of thousands of buildings tested.
And we talked about this in another discussion that we had as well when the CDC released that report and how that was kind of imbalanced as well, because there was a great, over that period of time, when we had COVID, we've seen a massive rise in Legionella. And I guess this is only going to compound the matters, David.
Well, I think it's going to give us some visibility. The question has always been how many buildings have Legionella contamination where nobody's sick? Nobody has reported disease. There's no outbreak. Because normally that type of testing is only prompted after there's an outbreak. And that's the way it's been since the late 70s.
It's
so
a very reactive process, isn't it?
Exactly. And I can tell you, in my consulting and looking at buildings for other reasons or for, helping them put in a water management program or training and guiding a facility for years, you find that Legionella entering a building and taking up home in various aspects and locations is not unusual. So we find it in the municipal water that's coming into a building, sometimes at pretty high levels. So, finding it at non-zero levels is not a surprise to anybody who's been looking. I think this is going to be a shock to many property owners, as well as the GSA, as to how many properties actually have, a very high risk or potential risk for, disease or an outbreak.
And I guess as well, one of the other things that could perhaps they need to look at is that if this property is an old property or if this property has got any kind of history, the chances are is that the water systems coming in, the pipes, the structures, everything else could be old, could be breached, could have a leak, and therefore we have a potential of actually introducing
age is certainly a factor. Honestly, I have seen just as many brand new buildings have Legionella contamination as old ones. As a matter of fact, New Orleans is kind of the mystery to me. You know, that's one of the oldest cities in America, and they rarely have Legionella issues. I think it's because of how they treat their water very, very aggressively. But
They
you
are
know, I've
very
seen brand
aggressive, and
new
I think
hospitals.
they've proven that since the problem that we had with the breach of the levees and all that kind of stuff. I think they've even got more zealous with it.
So you know, the drinking water there is highly treated. But you know, whether it's a new building or an old building, we do know that high rises tend to have a higher risk, and there's some theories behind that, but I think the numbers bear that true. But I've seen, you know, single story properties and, you know, nursing homes, apartment buildings, you cannot rely upon a risk factor and standing on the outside saying this building's at risk or not. You have to sample the water to understand that.
Do you feel, David, that so I'm thinking more now of the kind of high rises that you're talking about, and maybe the nursing homes and the healthcare industry and stuff. That there's because this hasn't been enforced before, that there has already been potential problems. There's probably been people that have contracted Legionella or contracted other pathogens, and they have maybe either misdiagnosed it or it's never been reported. But I guess that there's probably been contracted illnesses that are actually because of the water.
That has to have happened. Most of
Exactly,
the
yeah.
time, yeah. I mean, that's probably the vast majority of Legionnaires' disease and Legionellosis cases there are, because most cases of Legionnaires' disease are not associated with an outbreak. Like 96% are not associated with an outbreak. They're either single, sporadic, community-acquired cases or healthcare. And if it's not an outbreak, then it doesn't get investigated. Public health officials do not perform
Don't
environmental
report them.
investigations of single cases. So most of those go unanswered, unevaluated, untested. And so, yes, undoubtedly there are hidden or clandestine sources that are out, in buildings and properties all over the country that are, hidden to people. They don't know. And even if they get sick or someone gets sick, it's not commonplace for them to go back and test every water source they were exposed to. So I think, it's going to be an interesting year or so as GSA gets through this. They have all this data in front of them, and I wonder what they will do with it.
It's going to change the landscape dramatically. We've spoke about this before. I mean, myself and Rob have talked about this and how this is really going to dramatically change things. Before we kind of finish off, what I want to do is there's going to be a lot of property management companies out there. There's going to be a lot of landlords that really they don't know. They've kind of heard the Legionella. They've heard the pathogens causing you a dicky stomach, but let's tell people out there how serious this could actually be if there was an outbreak based in their building, or
Absolutely.
let's give them that.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, certainly with an outbreak, Legionnaires' disease is a nationally notifiable disease. And in every state in the country, if a person is diagnosed with Legionnaires' disease, the laboratory that diagnoses them, that runs the test, as well as the physician that diagnoses them, are required by state statute to report that to the local county health department. That is then gathered up and sent to the state health department, which then gathers that up and sends it to the CDC. And, they look at trends and patterns and trying to find outbreaks. When an outbreak happens, you will be contacted by the health department. They often, implement some frankly draconian efforts to try to, break the chain of causes in this outbreak, but it's always after the fact. Back when I was, with the health departments, and it was rare to have legal action or lawsuits related to Legionnaires' disease. And nowadays, it is the standard practice. If someone gets sick and they think they may have gotten sick at a specific hotel or healthcare facility, or any location,
Serious.
a lawsuit is filed. And they give it a shot. if you have an outbreak, I can tell you, it is the efforts to remediate it, if it involves a cooling tower or your building water systems, your hot water, your potable water, anything that's connected to showers, $150,000 to $250,000 to go through that process, and all the testing and the impact to your business and reputation, because public notices have to be issued.
Yeah.
Remediation, testing going on for months to years, at least a year is common. So, you definitely don't want to be on the wrong end of an outbreak. And more insurance policies are not covering it.
I know. And so that's why they need to take action and be more proactive rather than reactive. And let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, Legionella kills. It can take your life. There's different, different levels of it depending on the person or anything else.
Legionella is the number one pathogen in water systems that kills people. It kills more people than any other waterborne pathogen we have in America. Based upon the latest report from CDC, Legionella cases and outbreaks have exceeded all other waterborne pathogens combined.
And ladies and gentlemen, you can read that report on our article on it, actually on hc3fl.com. You can go to hc3fl and you can read that, because we have discussed that. We've also had other talks out there about it, but you can actually catch up with that. Just go onto the website, you'll be guided to that, and that's important to know. So David, let's talk about, I think we've given enough and said how serious it is. The right organizations deal with this now? They need to contact you, and then, what's the standard operating procedure that you need to get on with and do? What should they be doing?
Absolutely. Well,
right now?
With the baseline testing for GSA, it is as a matter of, meeting those requirements. They haven't gotten the notices out to everyone, but if you find a qualified company that can do this, get them now. Get on the schedule now, because there's going to be a shortage of people and time to get this done. So that's the first thing. If you don't have a GSA lease building and you do want to examine what your risks are and have a source assessment done, understand your risks. That is something that pays off very well. Understanding and finding these risks and abating them sooner than later. Remediation efforts, once the organism fully colonizes, can be very difficult. It's a very persistent bug to get out of your water system. Just flushing the water does not do it. Just heating the water does not do it. There's very special techniques, and much of it is it's effectively injecting pesticides into your drinking water system. That must be done with care. That must be done with caution, and that must be done by trained professionals and contractors. So this is not a DIY project. But if you can prevent a case, if you can prevent an outbreak, before it becomes an issue in your building, in your area, the frequency of cases are increasing, the number of outbreaks are increasing, and for those, while it's still considered to be a relatively rare disease, for individuals who do contract Legionnaires' disease, the chances of dying, the fatality rate is 10%. 1 out of 10 people typically die of Legionnaires for community-acquired disease. And if they're in a healthcare facility, a nursing home, hospital, rehab, it's 1 in 4, a 25% fatality rate. That's even with treatment. That's even with antibiotic treatment and medical intervention. So this is a serious disease that when it happens is catastrophic.
The threat is certainly real, ladies and gentlemen, and I think it's commendable to be proactive, especially now. And if you haven't had anything from the GSA, it's coming. So at least start the ball rolling now, because it'll be like, you know, you'll be on a waiting list because there won't be enough people to do the testing. There's not going to be enough companies. So you need to act on this now. Yes. Seriously. So, David, I want to thank you for being with us tonight. I think this was a really important thing that we did in HC3, that we let people know about this and give them a path to doing this. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there and you are, you know, a manager or a director at one of these organizations and you don't know what to do, then please get in touch with us, hc3fl.com. You can get in touch with David direct and the team, and they'll arrange everything for you. David, give one last message that you can give to anybody out there if they really are needing help with this, and to contact you.
Absolutely. You know, I feel for anybody trying to find a qualified firm, just Googling industrial hygienists or water testing companies, you know, people who do this testing. This is a unique aspect, and many of the property owners who do finally find us have been through a journey to try to find somebody who does this type of testing and is qualified.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is a big aspect, and you got to be cautious about having the remediation company or your local, you know, cooling tower service tech collect these samples. Having the remediation firm collect the samples, or water treatment company collect the samples, while they are often qualified and capable of doing that, if there's a problem, they may be in a conflict of interest to now perform the remediation and testing. Getting to grade your own homework can create quite a few problems. So, you know, look for your certified industrial hygienists. Reach out to us here at HC3. Be glad. If we can't help you, we will help you find someone who can.
That's awesome. David, thank you so much for being here tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back because we'll be monitoring this and we'll be coming to give more education, more talks on this, and amongst other things in environmental science and industrial science. So, keep in touch with us. Make sure that you visit our website, sign up to our newsletter list as well, because this is something that's really important, and we are glad to be an educational resource for you. This will be a regular thing as well. So, David, thank you for joining me tonight, and I'm glad we could do this, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again very soon for the next session.
Absolutely. Thank you.